On Acoustic Tuesday, episode number 76, listen to a Blue Ribbon acoustic duo massage your fretting and picking hand into pure bliss and learn how to combine bass lines and melody lines with a simple and experimental approach. Oh yeah, and we're going to play a little bit of a game that's going to involve you, so make sure to tune in. All that and more right after this. If you believe that playing acoustic guitar is about sharing the joy of music with friends and family, not just mastering the technical side of playing, then this show is your dream come true. Every Tuesday morning, I give you my list of exciting guitar geek discoveries, gear, and new music so you can stay inspired to live your best acoustic life. I'm Tony Policastro, and this is the Acoustic Tuesday Show. Guitar geeks, unite. Welcome to Acoustic Tuesday, episode number 76. This is the show where you're going to learn about acoustic guitar gear, discover acoustic artists, and get inspired to live your very best acoustic life. As with all episodes of Acoustic Tuesday, I'm going to share with you my guitar geek list for the week. And as always, this week's guitar list starts off with a lesson. And I'm super excited to dig in today because I want to share with you how to combine bass lines and melody lines. Now, first of all, just so we're all on the same page, what on earth am I talking about? And this particular facet of guitar playing continues to amaze me. Think of a fingerstyle song like Freight Train, for example. That's a great example of combining bass and melody to create a pretty composed little piece of music, right? We can hear the bass, that's what the thumb's doing, and we can hear the melody on the high strings. Now, I want to share with you a simple and effective method that will allow you to combine bass and melody. And I know you might be thinking, whoa, that's well beyond where I'm at right now. But actually, it's not, because the approach that I'm going to share with you is extremely experimental. You don't even have to know what you're doing. I'm going to first use Freight Train as an example, but then I'm going to share with you one way, a really effective way, that you can actually do this and just have fun doing so and be creative. So let's start with Freight Train as our example. Now, there's two items at play here. We have the melody, and then we have the bass, or think of it as the chords that are going on. So if we isolate the melody, it sounds like this. This is kind of step one, right? Just a little chunk of the melody. That's what somebody would sing, right? And then we have the second piece, which is the chords or the bass or the rhythm behind everything. And it's just a C and a G chord. Now, those two things alone don't seem very exciting. In fact, they're pretty boring. But when you combine them, all of a sudden, there's this multi-dimensional musical experience that you've created. Because when the melody's going, those chords are going, and when the chords are going, the melody's going. It's a great two-way street. So how on earth do you combine those? And here is where things seem to get tricky, but they're really not, I can assure you. So if we look at the chords being used, C and a G, just for this little tiny chunk of melody. And just so you know what melody is going on over these chords, I'll just sing a little bit of it. It's a da, 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 da. Maybe not on pitch, but you get the idea. So what you have to do is, understanding those chords that go into the song, that the melody's being played over, you have to go ahead and make that chord and then see what notes are available to you, okay? And this is where things can get experimental. Now, for a C chord, index finger on the first fret of the B, middle finger second fret of the D, ring finger third fret of the A, you have one free finger, the pinky, right? Well, let's put that pinky to use and see what notes are available. So first, go ahead and fret that high E string, third fret. And that's a note. That's actually a first note of our melody. First two notes. And then you can take that pinky and fret the B string as well on the third fret. Lo and behold, those are our first four notes that we need. And I can still retain that C chord. And therein lies the beauty of combining bass or chords and melody, right? Use those free fingers that we have when we're fretting open chords to see what notes are available to you. The same is true for that G chord within the song Freight Train, right? Right? We still have those notes available. So specifically with the G chord, we're looking at an index finger that's free. So we can go ahead and lift up the pinky, fret the first fret of the high E string. and almost use those as our melody finders, right? Same thing on the B string, third and first fret. All from the G chord position. So that's really the crucial part of this. And this is the part where I'm gonna give you full license to explore, create, and experiment, okay? Because I want you to make any open chord that you're comfortable with. Maybe you're just starting guitar and you're like, I finally got an E minor chord. That's a great starting chord, right? Because you have two free fingers, the index and the pinky. And you can go ahead and explore all over the fretboard, right? See what sounds good, see what doesn't sound good. It doesn't have to be right. You're just kind of hunting and pecking around to see what notes you like in addition to the chord. So again, for this E minor, we can use the pinky on the third fret of the high E, the B, the G, and even the D if you want to try it. So that would sound like this. Maybe not the third fret of the D, but at least you know what's available to you. And that's the lens I want you to look at this from, right? I think so often when we hear somebody combine chords in a melody, it's this magical thing, this magical spell that they cast on the guitar. But really, you can do it right now with the chord knowledge that you have. Just go ahead and fret the chord, see what fingers are open and available for you to explore with, and then go ahead and explore with them. See what other notes are available on other strings and see what sounds you can create. It's a great first step to combining chords and melody, and I think you'll find that it may be a lot easier than you think. So I really hope you dug this lesson, and I hope it leads to a lot of creative endeavors, some creativity, if you will. And if you're ready to take your guitar playing to the next level, please check out Tony's Acoustic Challenge. I think if you dug that lesson, you'll totally resonate with the program. Go ahead and head over to tonysacousticchallenge.com, and if the information jives with you and you're like, man, this is gonna help me take my playing to the next level, I want you to request your invite today. All right, moving on in our Guitar Geek list, before I go any further, I've got a great trivia question for you, but I have to kind of cast back the curtain and unveil the individual behind the curtain, pressing the buttons, turning the knobs, controlling the volume, putting on the headphones, adjusting the mics, adjusting the cameras, being an all-around swell chap. Noah, cheers to you and good morning.
And cheers to you as well,
cheers to you,
Tony.
This is kind of Halloween-ish, but I really like it.
Mm-hmm. Well, thanks to you, all of us in the office now have one.
Well, I just wanted to bring a little skull into our lives.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like we don't have enough skull around here. Now, those of you watching, and you guys have probably never seen this, you guys and gals have never seen this, in back of my desk on the wall is a huge mural of a skull that Noah gets to stare at.
Every
all
day,
the time.
Every yeah. day.
See, I'm mixing up my words, stare and scare, yeah, but it works. I think it works either way. but I found these mugs, and here in a little bit, I'm going to actually share with you where I got them, so all of you fellow Guitar Geek skull lovers can add these to your collection. They're really amazing, because not only can you look like, is it Shakespeare or Hamlet? Or is it Hamlet by Shakespeare?
Correct.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah. Thanks for keeping me on track. You can either look like super astute, and well-read,
right.
Or he can just look creepy. Either way, it's a win.
Yeah. Well, we're enjoying them here in the office.
Bust these out at a cocktail party, invite your neighbors, and they'll never come back.
No. Yes, I can't say that, you know, Levi has picked up his yet. He hasn't.
Yeah.
But that's fine.
That's fine.
They can stay here in the...
More skulls for us.
Exactly.
We're just thinking about piling up in the corner and just inviting random people in to see what they think. No. Okay, enough creepiness.
Yeah.
Should we move on to Guitar Geek trivia?
Yeah.
Okay, this is a great trivia question for you Beatles fans out there. So, without further ado, here is your Guitar Geek trivia question. Which acoustic guitar did Beatle Paul McCartney reach for when recording both the song Yesterday and Mother Nature's Son? Was it A, a Martin D28, B, a Guild D55, C, an Epiphone Texan, or D, a Gibson J160E? Go ahead and ponder that, and at the end of the show, I'll be sure to give you the answer. Now, this one I feel pretty proud of, because I feel like all of the guitars mentioned are related to the Beatles in some way, shape, or form. So, some tough ciphering you got to do in your brain. But like I said, at the end of the show, I'll give you the answer. All right, moving on. I want to dig into who I'm listening to this week. And this week, a great recommendation from Andrew D. came in. But before I get to that, I want to actually share with you some items that came in to the mailbag. The mailbag's been a little mellow as of late, but it surged. It surged forward this week. I ordered some Guitar Geek products that I plan on reviewing. If I dig them, I'm going to share them on the show. I get on Amazon at the end of the day, and a lot of times I kind of just start shopping. And then things show up, and I'm really surprised. So I got, let's see, I got the GHS Fingerboard Care Kit. I got the GHS Gorgomite Cloth. I got the D'Addario Humidikit with a Bluetooth humidity tracker. I'm excited to put these products through their paces and share with you all my experiments here. I'm very curious about the Humiditrack unit. Me and technology aren't a great combination, so I'm going to share with you my experience with it. I'm excited. I also ordered the full rundown of Martin's new Authentic Tone strings. I got the Marquees and I got the SPs. I'm still waiting for the other ones. I forget the lifespans. I'm still waiting for those, but those will be in, so I'll be able to compare and contrast those. And I also got a wonderful letter from Steve from West Virginia, and he included some picks for the pick cup, so very thankful, Steve. Thanks for sending these in. These are from Route 60 Music, and he goes on to say in his letter, let's see, what does Steve say? He says, Tony, I'm sending in some picks from my local shop that I hope you will add to the collection. Checked. It's already in the collection. They are from Route 60 Music here in Huntington, West Virginia. I'm fairly new to the guitar world, and the support of guitar geeks at this shop have been wonderful. With the information and instruction from Acoustic Life, combined with the helpful guitar geeks at this shop, navigating this newfound world of guitar has been a pleasure. Keep up the good work, guys. Thank you, Steven. Well, thank you for sending in the letter, Steven, and best of luck on your guitar journey. I'm so glad that you're sharing your guitar journey with Noah and I here on the Acoustic Tuesday show. And of course, your picks are now in the collection. So you're officially in the Guitar Geek Hall of Fame. You've arrived. Boom. There you go.
Congratulations.
Yeah. Now, another thing that arrived in the mailbag are these wonderful skull mugs. Now, you might think I went to some creepy website to find these, like some Halloween website or some horror movie website. No, 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 no. Our good friend and former Acoustic Tuesday featured artist, Tony Furtado, made these mugs.
Yes.
Tony Furtado, along with being an incredible banjo player, a wonderful songwriter, an astounding bottleneck slide guitar player, is quite inventive ceramicist, and he creates some wonderful, wonderful sculptures and these skull mugs as well. In fact, these are handcrafted, delivered by Tony, and I ordered one as a sample because I just wanted to see what it was all about, and it came in, and I just like, these are so amazing. I think we need a set for the office. So I followed up that order with another order of about four more. So I get a text from Tony. He's like, dude, what's with the skulls? What's going on? And I'm like, I love these. They're so amazing. So one thing to know about these skull mugs, there's no handle on them. So it's extra creepy, but extra cool. Cool drinks are no problem. If you get a hot drink, you've got to really balance it a little bit or let it kind of cool off before you really grab hold. But I love it for my coffee. It's about a 20-ounce mug. I know this sounds like a commercial, but I'm just really excited about these. And I think Tony does such awesome work. I wanted to share it with all of you. Now, these are in limited quantity because they're handmade. Each one's a little different. Each one's hand-glazed, and this glaze is the mossy copper, I think he calls it. But there's a white one, which mm-hmm. Noah has. We also have like a rusty, like a red one, which
that
is
one's
a pretty cool.
Cool.
Yeah, it's kind of creepy. And there's some other colors and flavors as well. So I wanted to give you all the sight in case you were curious about checking these out and maybe buying one for a gift or one for yourself. Like I said, if you're a guitar geek and a skull lover, this is right up your alley because it holds picks very well. A lot of good bonuses to these mugs. I wrote down the website so you can check it out. It's on Etsy. He has an Etsy shop, which has his sculpture and these skull mugs. It's etsy.com/shop/Tony Furtado. So if you just go to etsy.com, etsy.com, and do a search for Tony Furtado, you'll see the skull mugs pop up immediately. And I believe they were even in the TV show Bones at one point.
Ooh.
Yeah. So kind of a cool little history of the skull mug. Via Tony Furtado. Amazing musician, amazing artist. And there you have it. That's the mailbag. Noah, what'd you get in the mailbag?
The skull mug. My skull mug.
Oh, that's
because you ordered those
sense.
For the shop. So there. See, you were hoping to catch me.
I was.
And you were going to be like, Noah, what'd you get in the mailbag? And I was going to say, nothing.
And you're like, touche.
Touche.
Check this out.
But I did. I got the skull.
So if you open our cabinets here at the studio, you'd be concerned because it's just a bunch of skulls looking at you.
Mm.
And a bunch of bourbon glasses.
Some scotch glasses,
yes.
And
well,
coffee mugs. Yeah.
Moving on to what I'm listening to this week. This week, I've got some hot pickers for you. I'm talking straight-ahead bluegrass hot picking. Now, these two artists came by via recommendation from Andrew D., who I know is a Buffalo Sabres fan. And I'm happy to say, well, I guess I'm, yeah, I can be happy to say this. The Buffalo Sabres are doing much better than my Chicago Blackhawks this season. But anyways, I'll let the hockey talk, I'll let that settle down. And he's, Andrew says this of the duo in question today. Both of their skills are sick. That's all he said. And he needn't say any more or any less, because that pretty much sums it up. Now, I've had firsthand experience with one of the two artists I'm going to mention. I saw him play at a, well, I saw him play at a flat pick competition, a mandolin competition, and a banjo competition, all at the same festival. And he placed in all of those different instruments. He's a phenomenal picker. Him and his wife combined make fantastic music. And who am I talking about? I'm talking about Jake and Rebecca Workman. Jake Workman is a fantastic flat picker, multi-instrumentalist. Rebecca is an amazing fiddle player. I'm talking tone for days, and just can really, she can really saw. She's an incredible player. And they've just recently put out a duo album. And to give you a taste of what they sound like, I've chosen the bluegrass, the classic bluegrass flat picking tune, fiddle tune, Big Mon. So let's have a listen to that real quick. Be saying, hey, that Jake guy, he kind of looks familiar. Well, Jake Workman is not only playing in a duo with his wife, but he plays in Ricky Skaggs' Kentucky Thunder as well. He's also placed, I think, at about every single instrument competition that exists. I saw him at Rocky Grass back in 2009 or 10. But he's done the festival circuit and placed in about every instrument that you can. And also, he's a Preston Thompson guitars artist. He plays with Thompson guitars pretty much exclusively with Ricky Skaggs, and he's got a great, I think he's got a Brazilian rosewood model, or it's Madagascar rosewood. I don't know, but it's a great sounding guitar, and in his hands it sounds amazing. And as you can tell, when he combines with his wife, they make some pretty amazing music. I mean, as a duo, there's a lot of sound there. In fact, what I love about their duo is that it's not just straight-ahead bluegrass. Yeah, the straight-ahead bluegrass is there, but there's some vocal numbers. There's also some swing numbers, some kind of swing jazz-type numbers that are just a treat to listen to. Their approach to the various musical styles is, I mean, they do so with the utmost reverence for the style, and they play so well together. Their new duo album is entitled Deep Into the Heart, and that is out and available. You can get that on Amazon or their website. Of course, you can go to acousticlife.tv/AT76 to learn more. But also, I wanted to mention that Jake has a solo album out that was released prior to their duo album called Rocky Mountain Hideaway. And a little birdie told me that Jake is actually in the studio, I believe right now, working on another solo album. In fact, if you follow him on Facebook, he's released little videos here and there, little hints and little reveals of some new songs that he's been working on. So I cannot wait to hear that when that comes out. So again, that's Jake and Rebecca Workman. Make sure to check them out. Go to acousticlife.tv/AT76. You'll be able to see bonus performances. You'll be able to buy those albums and just learn more about the duo. I think as an acoustic music appreciator, you'll absolutely love them. All right, Noah, I'm gonna look at you right now, and I'm gonna say, Noah, this is what I'm gonna say to you, Noah.
And I'm going to say, Tony, hey,
you got small wins for us or
I
what?
I was going to say, stop right there, because I have small wins for you.
All right, let's hear it.
Okay, here we go. Small wins taken from none other than Acoustic Tuesday viewers. From Acoustic Tuesday viewers of the past?
That sounds really dismal.
Well, I was thinking of like Christmas Carol for some reason.
Oh, okay.
You know, like, you know, future past, you know.
Acoustic Tuesday's Ghosts of the Past.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway.
Wow, these skull mugs really bring in a whole new atmosphere.
I apologize. Okay, first small win comes from Presley B. Small win. I had been looking for a travel guitar to take on a trip to Hawaii, and after some research, wound up with a Journey Overhead 410.
All right.
Very convenient for the flights. However, I did not light the guitar as the action was a lot higher than my D15, and the neck angle was difficult for me to play. The trip was in November, so I finally got around to having it set up, and the neck shimmed last week. Just got it back today, and it plays like a completely different guitar.
Awesome.
Looking forward to some camping and festivals with it this summer.
Heck yeah, that's
and
awesome.
And also, American Epic is awesome. Great recommendation there.
Yeah, I wouldn't say we got into hot water, but we had some clips from the show on the Acoustic Tuesday episode.
Yeah.
And then upon airing it, realized that, hey, there's some copyright thing. So Noah, in his just like magical little video laboratory, he went in, spliced, diced, cut, pasted, whatever you do, and made the episode in cooperation with the copyright, so we were still able to let you all know about American Epic. So
yes.
Thanks, Noah, and thanks, Presley, for sharing that small win.
You're very welcome. Next small win comes from Judd V. Small win, got through all the pentatonic patterns without a mistake.
Heck yeah.
And our last small win today comes from James M. I didn't finish watching the show until today, Wednesday, because I was replacing the plastic saddle on my old 70s Ibanez 950 yesterday. It was the first time I did it by myself. It sounds a lot better with the new bone saddle.
Sweet.
Next, I'm going to replace the nut with bone also.
All right.
Great show as always, and cheers from Dover, Pennsylvania.
Awesome. Well, thanks for watching, James, and congratulations on the experimental luthery skills. That can be a little bit intimidating. I remember when I had a Larivee LO3, and it had a tusk nut and saddle, and I was just like, I'm going to do this myself, and I'm going to change it to bone. And it can be a little nerve-wracking, but man, it's quite informational and educational. So congratulations. That's awesome. And of course, Noah.
Yes.
If these folks have a small win they wish to share, what shall they do?
Oh, that's super easy. If they have a small win to share, and I think who doesn't have a small win to share? Everybody's got a small win to share. All we want you to do is to share that small win in the comments. And so below in the comments of this episode, just do hashtag small win and then let us know what you're celebrating. Doesn't matter how small or how big. You could change strings. You could play through a tune for the first time. You could learn a new tune. You could get some new gear. It's all up for small win grabs.
There's many wins to be celebrated.
And many
we like
wins.
Celebrating them. There's many wins to be celebrated. And Acoustic Tuesday's past. And future and present. Wow.
Yeah.
Should I keep going, or should I just call it right now?
Let's not call it. Let's keep going.
I'm going to keep going because this next thing that I want to share with you is one that I feel I'm kind of humbled and honored to share this next piece of gear with you. About a month ago, 2 months ago now, we were contacted by Nick Campling of G7th Capos, and he said, hey guys, I need you to keep this under wraps. But we got this new capo in development. I want to send one to you to check out, put it through its paces, and let me know what you think. So Noah and I received these beautiful capos from G7th. And now they look familiar, right? They look like, well, it's just the classic kind of G7th performance capo. However, this is the G7th Performance 3 capo. And it includes the adaptive radius technology that is employed on their heritage capo design. What is the adaptive radius technology? Well, it's an adjustable pad that through some cams and some inner workings that you're gonna see in a bit, actually adapts to the radius of your fretboard. And after using this for, like I said, about 2 months, I am way impressed with this little beautiful accessory here, because regardless of the guitar that I put it on, I get no buzzing, and it works on any guitar. I mean, I'm talking, it works on my Preston Thompson, the Santa Cruz, the Bourgeois. It works on my Mule, which is a near flat fretboard radius. And usually I run into some trouble on the D and the G strings with other capos because the radius doesn't match. This one adapts. So it's a pretty, I think it's a Swiss Army knife of capos, and one that, you know, one of the things that I'm always leery of is, man, if a Capo claims to be working great on everything. Does it really work great on everything, or does it just kind of work okay on everything? Well, I can tell you just from experience, this works great on everything. I'm very impressed. I think Nick and Simon have done a wonderful job in designing this capo. And he even engraved our capos. Noah's got one that says NJH.
Yep.
And mine says TP, which are my initials. It doesn't stand for toilet paper. I've been hearing that my whole life, so I mean... That's the first thing Noah said. He's like TP. But anyways, we want to thank Nick and Simon for sending these capos over early so we could, again, put them through their paces. But also just thank G7th for always just raising the bar on capo design. Really, really pleased with these. Now, I want you all to see the inner workings of this capo because... I think this video that I'm about to share with you really has some of the best graphics in terms of how a capo works, where the common problems are, and how the art system actually resolves those problems. I think the graphics are great, and I think you'll have a whole new understanding after watching this video. So let's have a look at, let's hear rather, from Simon and Nick from G7th Capo and learn about the new G7th Performance 3 Capo.
Hi, I'm Nick Campling.
And I'm Simon Campling. A capo has one simple job: hold down the strings on your guitar without any buzzing. Now, there are hundreds of capos out there, and if you listen to manufacturers' claims, they all tell you they're the best, and they'll keep your guitar in tune. If that were really the case, it wouldn't much matter which you chose, would it?
The fact is, it can't be true. Guitars, like eyes, are not uniform. I can't just go into a store and pick out a pair of glasses and hope that they're going to give me 20/20 vision. They have to suit my eyes, and there's certainly no guarantee that they'll suit someone else's.
Right, but that's essentially what guitarists have been doing with capos for years. When you get home, it might work fine, but it might not, and that's why so many of us have a drawer full of the things.
So why is that? Up to now, a capo typically has a fixed radius string pad, which is forced onto the guitar fingerboard. If it doesn't match the curve of your fingerboard, you get buzzing strings, as pressure hasn't been applied evenly, so you have to apply more pressure, which will inevitably pull some strings sharp.
So what if there was a capo that was somehow intuitive, that would actively adapt to match the curvature over the strings in any position, on any guitar neck? This would give all players full confidence in their capo. If you know you're using the minimum pressure required to fret all the strings, then you know you're actually minimizing the tuning problems at the same time.
Well, that's what we've done. We've called it Adaptive Radius Technology, or ART, and we put it at the heart of our brand new Performance 3 capo. ART is a patented mechanism that enables the capo to match any guitar fingerboard perfectly. Sliding cams respond to the fingerboard and adapt the string pad, making sure you get that perfect fit. Once fitted, the capo pulls down with even pressure to maintain the stability of your tuning.
The Performance 3 still has our award-winning tension control system, found in all Performance capos, making it simple and intuitive to use. You simply squeeze to attach it and squeeze to release it. Of course, guitarists come in all different shapes and sizes too, and we've made the Performance 3 compact, wonderfully tactile, smooth to operate, and it can be easily applied with one hand, whether that hand is small or large. And it can also be stored just behind the nut or on the headstock of your guitar.
So my job as designer is to make things better for guitar players by designing better things. After all, why not? I play too. I hope that the Performance 3 will be a useful tool which helps you to get the most out of your guitars.
So there's the scoop on the new G7th Performance 3 capo. Now, you all know, as a guitar geek, I think you can also relate. You know, I love gear. And I think this is a great kind of one-size-fits-all capo. Do I like other capos? Yeah, absolutely. I've got an Elliott capo. I love it. I use a Shub capo, too. But this one, I mean, just even this last weekend, I was using it in the studio. And I was just impressed that I could change it from one guitar to the next and really not have any trouble, not really make a bunch of tweaks in terms of tuning. Of course, subtle tweaks are always necessary when you add a capo, but what I'm really floored with is the fact that none of the guitars that I put this on, there was no buzzing. And that's something that I was very pleased with, especially in the studio when you're close mic and a guitar and every little buzz, every little nuance is going to be shared via the microphone. It's like playing under a microscope. So cheers to G7th for making such an awesome, awesome Guitar Geek accessory. Make sure to check these out. You can learn more about them at acousticlife.tv/AT76. And of course, there'll be links there to visit the G7th page. You can learn more about the capo, kind of get the tech specs and all the guitar geeky details if you want to go that far. So again, thanks Simon and Nick for sending these our way. We appreciate it. One more thing that I want to share. It's kind of a small win. I was really pleased and kind of humbled and really kind of a, I feel like I've risen to a new Guitar Geek level.
Well,
Nick, go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, Nick just didn't send us the capos or ask beforehand if we wanted to see them. No, no, no. What else did he ask?
Well, he had asked my thoughts about the capo. And in some email exchanges, he's like, well, if you were to, you know, share a quote about the capo, what would it be? So I sent him some options, and it really all focused around the fact that it created a buzz-free playing experience, which I really value. You know, you buy nice guitars, so they sound good. And he put my quote on the back of the package, which I was like, wow, man, that's something else. So I was like, you know, to see your name, Tony Policastro, Internet Guitar Geek, on the back of a you know, accessory package is kind of cool. So, again, thanks for that. And if you see this at your local store, you can turn it around and be like, hey, I know that guy. We hang out on Tuesdays. Yeah. Anyways.
That is cool.
I'm not trying to be boastful by any means. It's just kind of neat to see. I don't know. It's kind of cool.
No, it's like, it's an honor.
Yeah.
That's
cool. It's like a, if there were Guitar Geek Awards, I feel like that's like a, you know, Guitar Geek Award. Anyways, moving on. We want to know what you think about the show, of course. So please, in the comments below, let us know what you think about the show. And please, when you leave a comment, please share with us where you're tuning in from. It's so fun to see how far and wide all the guitar geeks, you know, we've got guitar geeks pretty much on every continent, and even Antarctica. Because we have a guitar geek that goes to Antarctica for work.
Right.
She's a Tony's Acoustic Challenge member, and she even brought her close carbon fiber guitar to Antarctica with her. So I'm proud to say that we have guitar geeks uniting every Tuesday from all seven continents, and it's pretty amazing. Worldwide. It's a worldwide phenomenon that you're a part of. We're a part of. It's pretty amazing. Pretty awesome.
Did we not get a picture of, like, the guitar at the South Pole or something like that?
I think we did. We'll have to find that and share that, because I know that that's a pretty cool moment. I mean, to see the carbon fiber guitar in the snow at the base at Antarctica is pretty cool. So we'll dig through our archives and share that if we can find it. But yeah, let us know where you're tuning in from. And while you're at it, leave in a comment, please ask yourself this question. Have I subscribed to the Acoustic Life YouTube channel yet? And if you haven't, please do so. It's super easy. Click that red button, and then don't forget to click that little gray bell. That'll give you a notification of each and every new video that gets released, so you don't miss out on any of the guitar geekiness. Now, Noah, speaking of comments, you have some.
Sure do.
From Acoustic Tuesday's Ghosts of Christmas Past, right?
Yes, exactly. Yeah, thanks for saying that
correctly. I just wanted to keep tying that in because it's really fun.
Cannot speak lately. You ever have those moments where it's just, it's almost like a couple days and you just can't speak?
Yeah, usually they happen about every Tuesday from, you know, starting around 10 a.m. Mountain Time. It's usually when the speech impediment just hits full force.
Yes, I have some comments. Right. And I have to say, this one's kind of, you know, anybody who has an account on YouTube, well, when you make an account anywhere, right, you, for the most part, they let you choose, like, what you want your, what do they call it? Your nickname to be.
Oh, yeah.
Right when it's shown on your platform. So whether you're commenting on YouTube or you're commenting via something Google or whatever, it doesn't have to be your name, right? It can be your name. It could be some nickname you choose. Anyway, the first comment and shout out goes to this gentleman, and here's exactly what it says. And because of where he's from, I'm going to say it, with an accent, okay? And so, first comment and shout out goes to Ernest Yeats, branch manager. That's what it says. No hyphen. It's just cool. So when I read it, I was reading it as the name.
Like, yeah.
And here's what Ernest Yeats, branch manager, has to say. Great show as always, watching from South Africa.
I love it. That's awesome.
So that
fantastic.
That was a lot of build up for something
really
small.
It was good. It was good.
And next shout out goes to Sean H, who says, loving this show. It makes my Tuesdays a lot more fun. I'm trying to live my best acoustic life.
Heck yeah.
And I'm finally keeping up with my YouTube and trying to get my songs out there as well. Thank you, Tony, for always keeping us playing.
Oh, cheers. Thanks for watching, Sean. Is that must be the same Sean that shared in the Facebook group. He's the one, Sean Heath, he's the one that shared the James Taylor song.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great playing. Awesome picking. He picked on a J45 and singing sounds great. In fact, I want to say 20 plus episodes ago, he actually sent us a copy of his new album. And it's always cool to see one of our very own Acoustic Tuesday viewers, family members, get out there and create music. So thanks, John. Thanks for watching.
And our next comment and shout out goes to, well, this would be the last one, but this will be the last one for now. Rod A says, a shout out to y'all. Thank you for making my Tuesday workday not so boring.
All right.
As for the other days of the week, got reruns. Rod from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
That was good. Very good reading, Noah. You really dialed in the reading today.
Thank you. Yeah.
I'm pretty proud of you.
Well, thank you very much, Tony.
I'm almost getting a little weepy.
Okay. Yeah. All right. And that's our comments and shout outs. We do have... You know you're guitar geeks when.
Please carry
you
on.
You know, not guitar geeks when. You know you're a guitar geek when.
Well, I'm excited because there's a fun segment that's a new segment we're going to introduce here in a second. But carry on, Noah. Go ahead.
So, Troy says, you know you're a guitar geek when you justify buying a new guitar with the one in, one out principle and go so far as to identify a guitar or two to sell. Then, once you're going to sell them, right? You go get your new guitar. But then after you get your new guitar, you just justify keeping the other guitars because I don't necessarily have one that sounds like that one.
Wow, that is pretty much dead on. Like bullseye.
And our next one comes from Amber B. You know you're a guitar geek when people ask you to go somewhere or hang out after work, and your response is, after my Tony's Acoustic Challenge lesson, sure. But not until.
That's dedication. I love it. Yes. That's awesome. That's very cool.
And there you go. There's our You Know Your Guitar Geeks win.
Well, Noah, thank you for sharing those. And of course, viewers, please, we invite you to finish that statement. So in the comments below, put hashtag You Know Your Guitar Geek win, and then go ahead and finish that statement. The truer they are, well, usually, I mean, they're all pretty darn true, which makes them really funny. I love the one in, one out sales like philosophy. And then you justify keeping all
of
them. Yeah,
exactly.
I love that. I mean, that is dead on. So please share your You Know You're a Guitar Geek wins with us. Now, speaking of comments, there's a certain comment that was made recently that actually led to this next new segment. This might be a one-time segment. This might be a game that we play on the Acoustic Tuesday show semi-frequently. I don't know. Because right before filming today's show, I said, Noah, we're going to do something new because of a certain comment. Now, Noah, I would love for you to please share the comment in question here.
Okay. Now, folks who have been with us, you know, since the beginning or have gone back and watched shows, and if you've even read any comments, you might have stumbled across a similar type of comment. But this is one that is most recent, and it comes from No Type. At least that's how they wrote out their moniker there. And all it says is, in quotation marks, button pusher, referring to myself, is one way that Tony has referred to me in the past. Button pusher looks like Stevie T. And that's the comment.
So that sparked a creative fire in my brain. And I thought, man, I go through all the comments on Acoustic Tuesday, and I've seen this time and time again. Oh, Noah looks like so-and-so. Hey, that guy, button pusher man, he kind of looks like this person. So I thought, what better way to celebrate Noah's ever-changing looks than to play the game, who does Noah look like? So this is gonna be a game that you're involved in because I'm gonna ask you in the comments below to tell me who Noah looks like. Now, I know that there's a lot of choices and options because Noah is like a chameleon when it comes to his fashion and looks. Mm-hmm. However, I've selected five individuals that I think Noah looks like. And I'm going to give you some photos and some prompts here. And you're invited in the comments below to please let us know who Noah looks like. The first person that I think Noah looks like, you may know him as Jon Snow, but the actor Kit Harington. Now, you'll see a picture of Kit, and then we've selected a screenshot of Noah that best resembles Noah as Jon Snow. I like to think that this screenshot of Noah is like him looking over the wall, looking out for White Walkers as a crow, you know, for you Game of Thrones fans. So that's your first option. The second option, this one is for, you know, Noah can be quite the heartthrob. And this one took me by surprise, but the more I looked at it, the more I was like, yeah, well, you know, he's kind of right. I'm going to go with a young Johnny Depp. I think Noah does, in some instances, look like a young Johnny Depp, particularly when Noah is showing emotion, the sad emotion, the kind of pouty, young teenage angst emotion. So he does quite possibly look like a young Johnny Depp. Next up, now this one I publicly stated before, but I want to do a side-by-side because I think Noah looks like Freddie Mercury in some instances. But when Noah was going through his mustache phase, he really embodied the Freddie Mercury moment. He really paid homage in a big way. So does Noah look like Freddie Mercury? I don't know. Noah doesn't know. Let's just put it in the comments if you think that's the case. Next up, as one viewer already suggested, I'm gonna hold off on that one. The next one comes from my own twisted brain. You know, sometimes I imagine people as cartoons, and I think Noah actually resembles Jimmy Neutron. The cartoon, famous cartoon character, Jimmy Neutron, kid's icon, and especially with the hair. I think Noah went through a phase where Jimmy Neutron, he was channeling his innermost Jimmy Neutron. So let me know if that's who you think Noah looks like. And last but certainly not least, let's see if you agree with the viewer who goes by the name Notype. Does Noah look like Stevie T? Our fellow guitar geek, Steve Terberry, who is on YouTube doing all sorts of goofy stuff and fun stuff. He's a fun person to watch. And gosh, does Noah look like Stevie T? I don't know.
Okay, well, Tony, on this last one, we got a picture. And I was going to see if I can recreate Stevie's face here.
Okay, do your best.
Just for a moment. So okay. Let me see if I can. So he's got the glasses, he's got the cross eyes, and then he's got like his just upper lip just like protruding out.
Okay.
So I'm going to. Let's see if I can do this here. So I got the glasses. So
it looks rough from this angle, but maybe the camera's showing a different perspective.
And he looks much better than me. I should say that. He looks better.
So please in the comments below, let us know who Noah looks like. Let's see if we can get to the bottom of this finally. We've gotten a lot of comments about it, but I think we've boiled it down to these five individuals. So of the five, who does Noah best look like? And if we left one out, you can let us know in the comments as well. And since we have so much fun on this show, at this point in time, while you're commenting, I want to encourage you to share the Acoustic Tuesday show. The whole point of Acoustic Tuesday is to get guitar geeks to unite every single Tuesday, to spread that positive momentum, to cultivate that positive momentum that we all need in our guitar journey, to find out about new guitar gear, to find out about new things we can do on the guitar, to listen to new artists. That's the whole point of Acoustic Tuesday, so please share the guitar geek love with your fellow guitar geeks. Share the show, send them a YouTube link, send them to acousticlife.tv if they've never heard of it. We want to unite as many guitar geeks as possible. All right, last but certainly not least, this next thing could quite possibly change your guitar playing life. Now, let me just give you a little bit of a story here. This next item, actually, I purchased this thing as a gift for my wife, Whitney, and very quickly realized that I was using it more than she was. I play guitar day in and day out, for pretty long spells at a time, and I've always battled with muscle fatigue, muscle soreness, particularly in my thumb. I call it the drumstick of the thumb. And I've even talked to my chiropractor, physical therapist about this, and developed a stretching routine, which I've shared actually on an Acoustic Tuesday episode prior to this. And this next item has made a world of difference for me. From tension in the neck, from tension in the shoulders, to the forearms, to the hands, this next item has relieved a ton of that tension. It is the Pure Wave Massager by Pado, I think it's called, P-A-D-O. And the model in particular is the CM7. Now, I got Whitney the black one with the red fittings because black's a really cool color. And I thought she would really like it. But Whitney and I run a lot. So it really was a well-intentioned gift, but I found myself using it for things not related to running, like basically my forearms. So I've used this, Whitney has used this massager, and I've used it when she lets me borrow it on my forearms and my hands, and it has done it has helped me out a ton. And the big thing I've noticed is that it increases, I guess my perception of it is it increases blood flow to my forearms. So they don't feel as tight and as sore as they normally would. And also in this meaty part of my thumb. So I use this massager with the kind of the pointier head on it. And I just take it for about, 2 minutes for each forearm and 2 minutes for each thumb. And it really loosens up my my hands and really makes me feel kind of nimble and loose. Now, I am not a physical therapist. I am not a doctor. So check with your doctor before using anything like this. But I want you to see how this thing works. So I found a video. Now, keep in mind, this is a massage tool. So it's going to be kind of like, oh, hey, man, this is a massage for your shoulders and your neck. But I'm talking about using this for a very guitar geek specific purpose. So keep that in mind. View this video through that lens. So here's more about the Pure Wave Massager.
The goal of massage therapy is to release tension in the muscles and get them back to their normalized state. My name is Laura Jenkins, and I am a licensed and board-certified massage therapist. Pure Wave does not replace hand therapy. Instead, it acts as a tool to go alongside with it. It's great for the in-between times when you're not with a therapist. It's good for at-home maintenance when you're not able to see a massage therapist. This will help. What I love about the Pure Wave is the versatility. There's literally an attachment for every body type. So the point stick is really great for the trapezius muscle. It's this larger muscle, upper neck to the shoulder blades. Tons of trigger points. So using the point stick on that meaty area, you don't want to go onto the bone or onto the clavicle, the collarbone. You want to get right in that meaty area. You can also go along the shoulder blade. So you have your scapula. You don't want to go on the bone. You want to go alongside it. That's where a ton of trigger points are. And this tool really gets into those areas. So what's great about the Pure Wave is that in comparison to other massagers on the market is that one, it's cordless, so I can take it anywhere. I can reach areas without being wrapped up and tangled with the cords. It's also just overall the attachments are softer, like this air cushion stick. It's similar to a tennis ball. I recommend a lot of my clients use tennis balls for certain areas. This is kind of a similar concept. It's a silicone head. It allows air to go through, so it's pliable, it's movable, it's moving with you. Whatever it's hitting, it has that give to it. One of the areas that I said this is great for is shoulders. You can really get into the pec muscles, you can get into all the attachment sites on the shoulder blade. It's also really, really good for the knee. I have a lot of clients that have knee issues. The attachment.
All right, so there's four specific areas that this has helped me as a guitar player. The first one is the neck, just because you're always looking over your fretboard, right? So the first one's the neck. The second one is both shoulders, both for the picking hand and the fretting hand. Sometimes there's tension that builds up there. As I mentioned before, the third one is the forearms, specifically in my fretting hand, because there's a lot of tension that builds up there. And then also, like I mentioned, the thumb. I use a lot lighter setting for the thumb because the hands are, it's delicate. I don't want to hurt my thumb. I just want to kind of get some of that tension out of there. So that's how this has helped me specifically as a guitarist. And I just wanted to share it with all of you. Again, this one came in from left field. In fact, I ordered it for Whitney for Christmas. And I came in like probably the week after Christmas and I'm like, Noah, we're going to feature that massager on the show because it's amazing. And he's like, I had a feeling Whitney was not going to use it at all, and you were going to take it from her. Mm-hmm. Now, I haven't taken it from her. Funny story, just to complete this thing and let it go full circle. I wanted to bring it in to show you all, but she was still home when I left for the studio this morning, and I thought it was just bad form to be like, hey, honey, I'm going to take this now. See you later. Mm-hmm. So I opted for leaving it at home, and That's it.
That was very considerate.
Well, thanks, Noah.
You're welcome.
So that's the Purewave massager. Just so you know, like roughly price, I think I got it for $125. That's what I got it for on Amazon. It's rechargeable. It's really easy to use. There's links to purchase it at acousticlife.tv/AT76. Again, those are referral links to Amazon, meaning we get a percentage of that sale. But what we do with any of those referral links on acousticlife.tv is we take the percentage of the sale that we get and we pass it on directly to Guitars for Vets as a donation on behalf of all the Acoustic Tuesday viewers, all the guitar geeks out there that want to further that mission of helping others realize the healing power of music. So keep that in mind if you're thinking about purchasing one. We'd love for you to do it through acousticlife.tv. But ultimately, I'd love for you to just experience how awesome that thing is and how much it can help you in your guitar playing. So make sure to check that out. All right, Noah, we have properly fed Acoustic Tuesday 76.
Wow.
We've burped it. We've nestled it. We've swaddled it. And we're about to lay it down in its crib for a nice, good evening of sleep, uninterrupted.
Do we cloth diaper it as well?
Yeah, organic.
Okay.
Organic
good,
cloth
good,
diaper.
Good, good.
Yeah, that's what we've done. That's what we've done to Acoustic Tuesday episode 76. But I do want to revisit your Guitar Geek trivia question. So just as a quick reminder, here is your Guitar Geek trivia question. Which acoustic guitar did Beatle Paul McCartney reach for when recording both the songs Yesterday and Mother Nature's Son? Was it A, a Martin D28, B, a Guild D55, C, an Epiphone Texan, or D, a Gibson J160E. Well, if you thought to yourself, I think he reached for a C, Epiphone Texan, you're absolutely correct. The Texan was made popular by Paul McCartney due to its use on the 1965 hit song Yesterday. It is also famous for being the acoustic guitar on which McCartney performed the signature McCartney picking in other songs such as Mother Nature's Son. But Paul wasn't the only one who took a liking to this model. Check this out. Kurt Cobain of Nirvana used an Epiphone Texan on the 1994 In Utero tour. Notably, British folk guitarist Wiz Jones has also been known to play an Epiphone Texan. Bert Jansch, another prominent force in the British folk scene, played one briefly live in a 1965 concert. Also, this is real cool, Graham Nash used an early customized black, originally cherry burst Epiphone Texan, while in the Hollies and during the beginnings of Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young. Pretty iconic guitar for, obviously, Paul McCartney, but so many other musicians that I never knew until I went into the black hole of the Epiphone Texan. So there you have it. Acoustic Tuesday number 76 is just sleeping away in its crib, its Guitar Geek crib, and all us adults now can enjoy a nice adult beverage.
Okay.
Since Acoustic Tuesday is sleeping so peacefully.
Wow.
All right, Noah, cool. Segue. Let's have a look and see what's going to happen next week on Acoustic Tuesday. Here's a sneak peek into next week. Next week on Acoustic Tuesday, we're going to watch a film about a long-lost art, some simple yet effective acoustic guitar amplifiers, and this is very important, some ideas for those of you who waited until the last second to shop for Valentine's Day. That's going to happen next week on Acoustic Tuesday, Acoustic Tuesday. Don't forget, you can catch Acoustic Tuesday every Tuesday at 10 a.m. Mountain Time here on YouTube. And of course, for your acoustic guitar fix in between Tuesdays, we want to encourage you, we want to urge you as a guitar geek, it is your obligation to visit acousticlife.tv, do a deep dive on anything we've ever featured on Acoustic Tuesday, see bonus performances, buy cool Guitar Geek items, and learn cool Guitar Geek lessons, all at acousticlife.tv. Can't wait to see you over there. And thank you so much for sharing your time with us on this very Tuesday, this Acoustic Tuesday. We hope to see you next week on Acoustic Tuesday. Thanks so much. Get your skull mug. And don't forget, Guitar Geeks Unite. Cheers. Take care, everybody.